Would Arne Slot and Pep Guardiola settle for a draw?
Pep would always take a draw against Liverpool because he's genuinely got scar tissue from when we've battered them in the past.
Can Frank Lampard beat predecessor Mark Robbins on his own patch?
It's a new era under Frank Lampard and it's going very, very well.
And who is the Spurs loanee tearing up the Bundesliga?
He became almost Hasenhüttl's most senior, most important defender from the moment he took the pitch.
Hello, I'm Ian McIntosh. This is Football Fast, No Faff. Let's go Route 1. We'll get to the biggest Premier League game of the weekend very shortly, but before then, here's a quick run-through of last night's results. Celtic conceded 3 goals in 8 minutes as they lost 3-1 to Midtjylland. A reality check from Martin O'Neill, but then Midtjylland are the Europa League leaders with a 100% record. O'Neill's former side Aston Villa, they notched up a 2-0 win against Maccabi Tel Aviv in a fixture that, alas, wasn't really about the football. Another previous club of his, Nottingham Forest, squandered the chance to beat Sturm Graz on the road, as Morgan Gibbs-White missed a penalty in a 0-0 draw. Rangers' European woes continued with a 2-0 defeat at home to Roma. Danny Rowles' side prop up the table with 4 defeats from 4. In the Conference League, Crystal Palace earned a comfortable 3-1 win against AZ Alkmaar, mainly thanks to Ismaila Sarr's fine form continuing, and Aberdeen leapt off bottom spot by claiming their first point in Larnaca. Right then, Manchester City versus Liverpool, 4:30 on Sunday. Let's go. Now, last week, Arne Slot drew a bit of flack for seemingly surrendering in the Carabao Cup by selecting a much weakened side against Crystal Palace. Well, 10 days on, he may be owed some apologies because it looks like that decision may have helped put Liverpool back on track. Since then, Aston Villa and Real Madrid have been dominated and dispatched without the concession of a single goal. Less exposed and more composed, Liverpool look like Liverpool again. Their opponents this weekend, Manchester City, have gone through a similar wobble and adjustment period. After back-to-back defeats to Spurs and Brighton, and the wholly uncharacteristic 2-5 at Arsenal, Pep Guardiola has regained control. City have 8 wins in their last 10 games, scoring at least 2 in all but 1. All of which makes me wonder whether both managers would be happier with a draw this weekend, given how much a defeat would derail their respective progress. Lola Katz Roberts, occasional presenter of this very show and explosive Sky Sports News contributor, do you think Slot would be happy with a draw? Or Guardiola?
I think Arne Slot would take a draw, yes, albeit with some caveats. The last week has seen us finally build up some positive momentum, and that positive momentum is like a flickering flame on the end of a match at the moment, and we really need to safeguard that. A draw, depending on how the game state goes, gives us an opportunity to tell ourselves a positive story going into the international break, after which we have what looks like, on paper, a much smoother run of fixtures. Forest at home, PSV at home, West Ham away, Sunderland at home, Leeds away. The highest on my list of positive draws, though, would be, and this might surprise you, a 0-0. The 2 wins have been huge for confidence and how we're all feeling about ourselves, but keeping those consecutive clean sheets after looking so shaky at the back has been the bigger sign for me that this Liverpool team are getting back to their level of last season. I don't think, for example, a wild 3-3 would do much for our confidence, to be honest. I think Pep would always take a draw against Liverpool because he's genuinely got scar tissue from when we've battered them in the past. Looking at Josko Gvardiol's comments, he said something along the lines of, it would be nice to win, but it will be tough. I think for City too, a defeat would be very damaging to the positive momentum they've built up. There is, of course, the tantalising prospect of a win and what that would do for belief and how that could take that tiny flickering flame of momentum and ignite it. It would certainly be a statement to go there and win. And the way City set up in lots of ways will suit us more than Brentford, Palace and the like. But yes, I think Slot and Guardiola's message on Sunday is going to be play sensibly and whatever you do, don't lose.
Have you heard Lola and her twin sister Scarlett's football podcast? It's called Goal Difference. There's a link in the episode description and get into it now before it gets snapped up by Sky. Very few managers can lay claim to being the driving force behind both teams currently occupying the top two. I guess Mikel Arteta could try it, but assistant manager doesn't really count. Overruled. Mark Robbins certainly can, though. The Coventry side he rebuilt currently top the championship. The Stoke side he's currently rebuilding lead the chasing pack in second. Our friends at Fitstairs currently have Coventry at 10-11 to win the title, but Stoke 4 points back are still out at 12-1. And that's not to do Frank Lampard a disservice. He's doing a brilliant job. Coventry never led the championship under Robins. Automatic promotion was never really on the cards. Ahead of the two teams meeting this Saturday at the Bet365 Stadium, Simon Lillibury from That Golf Pod is here. Si, it's just over a year since Mark Robins was sacked. Could you ever have imagined the progress that would be made at the club? And does that make tomorrow a little awkward?
Yeah, I know. It's been a year. It's mad, really, how quickly it's gone. I don't think it's awkward. Listen, Golf fans absolutely love Mark Robins. He saved this football club from the depths of League Two. Looked like it might be going out of business at one point, to Northampton, to Birmingham, all the way up to the Championship playoff final, FA Cup semi-final. Words literally can't express how highly regarded he is by Cov fans still to this day. Obviously, the decision was made a year ago to get rid of him. It was one of the most emotional days, I think, for every Coventry fan up and down the country. Just couldn't believe it at the time. But what a decision in the end it's turned out to be because of Frank Lampard and Joe Edwards and the staff at Cov right now. Obviously, we're absolutely flying, scoring goals for fun, top of the Championship as things stand. I couldn't have imagined the progress the club would have made. I think under Robins, we were fighting for the playoffs most seasons, in the playoffs for that obviously final against Luton. But the progress around the whole club, you know, since Doug King came in has been absolutely gargantuan. Obviously, the enemy performing against Sheffield United before the game, sold out CBS Arena. It feels like a completely different club to the one that Mark Robins walked into. We are now knocking on the door of the Premier League, and we're ready for the Premier League if we do get there. So massive respect to Mark Robins, but it's a new era under Frank Lampard and it's going very, very well.
If you're a Coventry fan, give That Cov Pod a listen. There's a link in the episode description, and check out Simon's new YouTube channel on the Championship. We've linked to a video from that too. Mickey van der Ven stole the limelight this week with a compelling impression of Song Heung-min's Puskas Award-winning solo goal. It was even better than that, in fact. But there's another Tottenham centre-back we want to focus on, Luka Vucevic. When Spurs agreed a 12 million fee with Hajduk Split for Vucevic in the summer, it seemed a fair indication they spotted a decent player. Well, his early days on loan at Hamburg have suggested that decent might be putting it lightly. Spurs may have a real player on their hands. And for this story, there's nobody better placed to answer our questions than Spurs fan, Hamburg native and Bundesliga journalist, Seb Stafford-Blohr. Seb, how good is Vucevic? And what's caught your eye about him this season? And is he one for Spurs' first team next season, or does another loan seem more likely?
Yeah, Hamburg took to Luka Vucevic almost immediately. It's a strange thing to say about an 18-year-old, but he became almost Haasvall's most senior, most important defender from the moment he took the pitch, from the moment he made his debut, and that's continued ever since. During that time, he's authored all sorts of very impressive aerial statistics. He's extremely dominant in the air. Obviously a big problem from attacking set pieces and a great source of security when Haasvall are defending them. There are still some flaws and there are still areas where he's still learning. I think home match against Wolfsburg a few weeks ago, he made quite a bad mistake, got his feet in a bit of a muddle, allowed Wolfsburg to score the only goal of the game, and that kind of showed a little bit of naivety and, you know, areas where he can still learn. At the same time, and this holds true for any mistake he's made, what you tend to see is he reacts extremely positively to them, and that game was no exception. He made the mistake right at the beginning of the first half. For the rest of the match, he was absolutely outstanding, and he's been well worth these awards. It's hard to say when that transition to Tottenham will occur because development's not linear, it's not a straight line. And clearly the difference between the type of forward he's exposed to regularly in the Bundesliga and the level he would face in the Premier League on a regular basis, it's very, very different. And there's going to have to be a lot of learning in between that. And at 18, Tottenham would clearly have his long-term interests at heart. But it's been incredibly positive so far, and he's done as well as anybody could have imagined.
Check out Seb's work at The Athletic. That's one of the few subscription services that will be spared in my end-of-year cull. Farewell, National Geographic. Adieu, Financial Times. In unfortunate news for those tabloid journalists who see international breaks as opportunities to stir up trouble for the England manager, Jude Bellingham and Phil Foden have both been recalled by Thomas Tuchel. After regaining fitness and form at club level, the pair's return for England's games against Serbia and Albania were kind of inevitable. What's more notable is Tuchel's decision to call up Bournemouth's Alex Scott for the first time. A smart call, if you ask me. He has looked exquisite every time I've watched him this season. Ahead of Manchester United's revenge mission at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, in which they'll seek to at least partially exercise memories of that Europa League final defeat, Ruben Amorim has been named Premier League Manager of the Month for the first time. United won all three of their league games in October. Not quite enough for that boy to get his hair cut, but certainly sufficient to give Amorim a bit of breathing space at Old Trafford and for him to head to Spurs with high hopes of getting a result, particularly with Thomas Frank's side still struggling at home. There's a little bit of football on for you tonight. Watford take on Bristol City at Vicarage Road. That's on Sky. Manager Javi Gracia has picked up 7 points from his first four games, and it's Watford, so I guess he's probably fighting to save his job by now. If you've got Premier Sports, you can watch plucky Passmasters Elche against Real Sociedad. Elche are currently sixth in Europe's top five leagues for completed passes and will almost certainly rise above Bayern Munich for fifth tonight. I don't think you get a trophy for that, but it's nice. The BBC have Werder Bremen versus Wolfsburg. That's a proper mid-table rumble between two of the league's most inconsistent sides. There's also Pisa against Jamie Vardy's Cremonese on DAZN, and Paris FC against Rennes in Ligue 1. Though, alas, that one is untelevised. Looking slightly further ahead, Arsenal are away at Sunderland. That's a 5:30 kickoff at Stadium of the Light. That's a tricky one for them. Sunday's Basque manager showdown between Unai Emery's Villa and Andoni Iraola's Bournemouth should be fun, as should the Austria versus Germany clash between Glasner's Palace and Hertzler's Brighton. That's always a spicy one. In La Liga, Valencia host Real Betis in a game they really need to win, while Barcelona face a tough trip to Celta Vigo, who've won five in a row. You can catch the aforementioned Luka Vucevic in action as Hamburg host Borussia Dortmund, but the Rhine derby between Borussia Mönchengladbach and Cologne at 5:30 on Saturday is probably the pick of the Bundesliga's schedule. Sunday night's La Classique between Lyon and Paris Saint-Germain is undoubtedly Ligue 1's equivalent. That was Route 1. It was football, fast. There wasn't a hint of faff about it, and we are here every weekday at about 3 p.m. If you like it, give it a follow, then you'll never miss an episode. And if you really like it, give it a review, because that honestly makes such a difference to us and our ability to grow the show. Hope you have a lovely weekend. I've been Ian McIntosh. Helena Fremantle was our producer. Chris Smith was in the writer's room. We'll see you on Monday.